These brooms hold a lot of water, don't they? The purpose of us doing this ritual, renewing our baptismal promises, of getting sprinkled with this water, is to remind us of our roots. It's to remind us of Jesus Christ and how we are begotten by God through Him. If you listen to the reading from Paul, about five or six times in that reading, he uses the word begotten. That's the same word that we use in our creed when we speak about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He was begotten, not made. We come to God through Jesus Christ. We come again to God through Jesus Christ. And we do that by celebrating this water. Jesus was courageous enough to celebrate it by blood. And that frightens the devil out of us, hopefully. When Jesus died, all of his friends locked themselves into a room because they were afraid. They were afraid that they were going to die too, the same miserable death that Jesus had died. And so they locked themselves away. But Jesus comes to be with them. The first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be with you." Three times he has to say. And even after the third time, was there true peace in the midst of those people hidden in that room out of fear? I want to suggest to you that the peace eventually came. And we read about that in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, at a time that happens after his disciples and his friends are hiding in that upper room. It comes at a time when we hear that the believers were of one heart and one mind. What an incredible transformation. What an incredible experience of this enduring and permanent love of God. So much so that it radically changed who they were and how they behaved with one another. It got to the point where no one wanted to claim anything of the earth, because they realize that nothing that comes from the earth could satisfy them, could give them life eternal like Jesus Christ could. And so the meaning of stuff was relegated to just stuff. How quickly we forget. I want to remind all of us this evening of the radical love that we are called to in our baptism, in our begottenness of God through Jesus Christ. And that radical nature of love has to be rooted in Jesus Christ. It's kind of interesting. I looked up the word radical in the dictionary, and there were three meanings. And it was kind of disheartening to me, because as I read the three meanings, I thought, gosh, this word radical has sort of deteriorated into something that it's not meant to be. The first meaning of the word radical means from the root. The real meaning of radical. The real meaning of the kind of love that each and every one of us is called to do. And that is the love of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be just like Him. Radical love. The second meaning of radical is extreme. Extreme is a terrible word. I think we are in the mess that we're in this day and age because we go to extremes. We've become extremists. If we believe in something, whether it's right or left, we're going all the way over there and we're going to cling to that baby and hold on to it regardless of whether or not it's true. We're not called to be extremists. We're called to be radical lovers, rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. The third meaning, was, hey, radical. Radical, man. Cool, groovy. The deterioration of radical went from the root to just something new age and hip and happy and la-di-da. Ugh. Jesus is not asking us to be la-di-da. Because the kind of love that Jesus is asking of us is the kind of love that in a broken world can get us killed. That's exactly what happened to him. And if you think about the mess that we're in our country and in our world, because of the extreme nature with which we cling to our belief system, we're missing our root in Jesus Christ. And so we have to be courageous enough to step back into that agape love, that enduring forever love that we sing about in today's psalm. God's love, God's mercy endures forever. And if we are willing to allow ourselves to experience that, hopefully it can change our hearts so that we don't cling on to anything just for the sake of clinging on to it. So that we can free ourselves from the nature of stuff of the earth that we think matters more to us than God's love. That's why we come here. This evening, we come here, and hopefully, in a profound way, we are of one heart and one mind. Because we are here to give praise and thanks to the glorious love of God. Let that be our focus. But it can't stop here. We must take our experience here with us out into a broken world. I've said it a million times, and I'm going to keep saying it. That can be a dangerous thing. And it's why we need to be encouraged here. We need to be willing to take the risk to go outside these doors and love radically. Not extremely, but radically. And radical love is about an invitation. It's about extending the freedom to say yes to God. Extremism takes our freedom away. If you think about it, when we are extremely captivated by something, we're no longer free. In fact, the word captivated means we're captive of that. And we need to free ourselves of worldly things. We need to free ourselves of false ideas. And the false ideas aren't necessarily bad ideas. They're only false because they draw us away from the love of Christ. They distract us from being the radical lovers that Jesus wants us to be. So this evening, let it be our prayer as we receive Christ in the Eucharist, to receive him into our hearts, to be emboldened to live like he lived, to be emboldened to love radically like he loved.